Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod. Order in the Corpse. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
Go to the Basilica San Giovanni Laterano looking for morbid relics, you'll be incredibly disappointed. The church is dedicated to straightforward and respectful Italian masses for any devout Catholic who enters its gorgeous Gothic doorways. In reality, the statuesque church is a bizarre relic in and of itself, the home to a painful and bizarre memory of an event that happened there over 1,000 years ago. This is the church where a pope was put on trial by his predecessor in January of 897, but not just any pope, a dead pope's rotting corpse. Today on Ghost Town, the trial of Formosus, or the Cadaver Synod. While trying a dead body would be grotesque and unimaginable in Vatican City today, the Cadaver Synod took place during a time of complete and utter political chaos. The sprawling West Empire Charlemagne had united in the 700s had eroded into small, warring factions. Rifts formed within the church as the men who aspired to be pope found they needed backing from one of the many secular and influential families in Europe to achieve it. Enter Formosus, a successful missionary and cardinal bishop of Porto, Italy. At the time, Formosus did a lot for Catholicism, including increasing the presence of the church in Bulgaria, which gained him the recognition and respect of some powerful people. Which meant, of course, in 9th century Europe, that he gained plenty of enemies as well. Formosus's influence had some people pretty threatened. In fact, he was excommunicated by current Pope John VIII in 876. His charges? Attempting to become bishop of Bulgaria, being a traitor to a man named Charles the Bald, whom Formosus didn't like, so that's fair, and probably, most importantly, trying himself to become pope. Lucky for Formosus, John VIII was killed in 882, and the next pope, Pope Marinus, reinstated Formosus, who returned to bishoping in Porto, Italy. Marinus lasted about 2 years as pope, his successor St. Adrian III lasted 1 year as pope, and Stephen V poped for 6 years after that. Just by their papacy, you can see how unstable things were in Vatican City, and pretty dangerous to boot. Eventually, Formosus actually did become pope in 891, in a time when a man named Guy of Spoleto was emperor. Formosus' predecessor, Stephen V, had unwillingly crowned Guy of Spoleto emperor, just because that's kind of what he had to do to get power and not be killed, and eventually Formosus was forced to recognize Spoleto and his son Lambert as Holy Roman emperors. Formosus initially looked to Spoleto and son for protection in his new role, but he wasn't putting all of his eggs in one basket. Formosus was also in talks with the king of Germany, Arnulf, who attempted a siege on Rome with the support of Formosus. Guy of Spoleto died that same year, however, leaving his son as emperor, and Arnulf took the opportunity in this changing of the guard to attack Rome again. This time, Arnulf was successful, and Formosus crowned him Arnulf the Emperor of Rome. The new alliance didn't last long, though. Surprised? Because Arnulf became critically injured and then died from an infestation of pubic lice in his eyelids, and Formosus died later of a stroke in 1896. He had been pope for a whopping 5 years. Formosus' successor, Boniface VI, was elected quickly to minimize Catholic rioting, but he was an odd choice. He had been defrocked twice for, quote, immoral conduct. He only ruled for 15 days before he died of either gout or poisoning. History is unclear as to which. Next up to papal bat was Pope Stephen VI. Pope Stephen didn't forgive, and he certainly didn't forget, and he was ready to do almost anything, even dig up his ex-pope's corpse, for a little glory. More after this break.
Hi, hello, how are you?
Hello, hello, everybody.
How are you doing?
You doing good out there? Hanging in, holding up?
Well, we're checking in one way or the other.
Don't answer that.
Get it together. Okay. Get it together. Pull it together. Please. We need you.
Mm-hmm.
We need you all in one piece, please.
Yeah. In more ways than you can know.
Probably about three or four ways, though. Probably just...
Yeah. I mean, don't ask me what those ways are. No further questions, Your Honor.
Five ways tops.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We want to say hello to anyone who's listening, supporting, spreading the good word of Ghost Town. Thank you so much. And we got many, many ways we like to talk about our government, especially the mayors.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Our mayors have been on trial.
Have they?
All acquitted for what I do not consider crimes.
Oh, yeah? You're like, justice for these mayors. You got a GoFundMe brewing for them, which is funny.
This mayor was on trial for saying, adulting.
Well, yikes. Yikes. Maybe you should be doing
It's a pretty heinous
life.
Crime.
You should do life, maybe.
Well, they've been acquitted.
Well, the justice system is broken, clearly.
That's Chris Hernandez.
Hello.
This mayor used the phrase dumpster fire to describe a minor inconvenience.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Yes. Your name was spelled wrong at Starbucks. Oh, dumpster fire. Woo.
But they have been acquitted. That's Mercer Rothermill.
Hello.
This mayor used the word staycation.
Not the most egregious, I'll say. This person
it's not the most egregious
for me.
How far away do you have to be from where you live to call it a staycation? If it's like an hour away, is it still a staycation?
No.
Now you're vacationing.
Yeah. I think anywhere outside
of your
home.
And you're just trying to downplay it. You're trying to downplay. Well, that was up for the courts to decide. The fate of Matthew Clemens Leray.
Hello.
This mayor committed, I say, a relatively heinous crime. They used the words, I am Kenuff from Barbie.
Wow. Well, I mean, you couldn't even use that when the movie was out. It was too choogy.
Yeah, they used that. You might want to look up the word choogy, by the way, because we're all in that. We're all guilty of that. I just look at my old Facebook post and I was like, yikes.
Yeah, that's high choog. For sure. Anything on Facebook falls into that category, I would say.
That's Casey Weber.
Hello.
This mayor, they committed a bit of a crime. They told us to not converse with them until they've had their coffee.
Do they do it in a sassy way?
It's the way they tilted their coffee mug in the photo. And sorry, I got to throw you under the bus. Kelly Meehan.
Hello.
On that, this mayor did say they got thrown under the bus. Like, you said you'd pick me up at the airport. You never did. I didn't throw you under the bus. You abandoned me.
Sounds like a lot going on.
Why am I the bad guy?
Wow. Seems
why am I the villain?
Specific here.
That's Kat Drizzell.
Hello.
Now, this mayor said something. It's pretty egregious. It's pretty new to me, but I feel like I'm seeing it a lot.
Oh, no.
They said, booked and busy.
They're going to prison for three lifetimes. They get
acquitted.
I'm actually, this is a vigilante justice situation. I'm going to go find them and I'm going to arrest them myself.
You can't get arrested for the same crime twice in this ghost town court. Well, this person is booked and they're too busy for you to even bother them. It's Ashley Mattson.
Hello.
And then our governor, who says whatever they want. But you know what they love to say?
What?
From a reclining seat in a private jet, just spilling fuel over the earth because they're like, we got more where that came from. We don't care.
Jesus. Please don't piss off our...
Eat it.
Please don't piss
eat it,
her
the
off.
Ecology. Eat it, ecology. Just making sure to hit It's like, what's endangered out there? I'm going to just dump some fuel on it.
Jeez. It's not
rainforests.
True. It's not true.
Oceans. But you know what they said?
We love her.
They said, as they're dumping the fuel over some platypus somewhere, let them eat cake.
Oh, classic. Chic, chic, very chic.
A classic saying, which they're always over international waters. They cannot be judged. They cannot be tried.
Mm-mm, only by God. But you know what? Yeah. They are God, baby.
Yeah. On the seventh day, they invented God. That would be our governor. Yeah. Did not rest. No. Mm-mm. That would be our governor, Avian Noble. If you want no ads, no chit-chat, bonus episodes, just the good stuff, 7 days free, head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod. Want to get back into it?
Let's do it.
Less than a year into his papacy, Pope Stephen VI gave the order to dig up Formosus and force his corpse to stand trial, called a synod, for crimes Pope John VIII had originally excommunicated him for. Seeking the papacy and ruling over, quote-unquote, more than one place as a bishop, which was unconfirmed that he had been bishop in Italy and Bulgaria because he had been influencing a lot of Catholicism in Bulgaria. Now, Stephen VI's reason for digging up the rotting corpse of his predecessor were many, if insane. First, he wanted to show that he was a powerful person. Two, he felt it would curry favor and some much-needed political alliances with a faction of Catholics that had hated Formosus. And three, maybe the most important, it was likely that Stephen himself was a criminal of a similar kind, guilty of ambition, and pretty much doing whatever he could to make himself pope. So the decomposing corpse of Formosus was dragged out, redressed in papal robes, and propped up in a chair at San Giovanni Laterano. It was called the, quote, Cadaver Synod, for obvious reasons, and it was the talk of Rome. Ironically, Formosus' name in Latin meant good-looking, though by all accounts this event was horrific, the literal stuff of nightmares. A deacon was appointed to speak for Formosus, but predictably didn't say much during the, quote, trial, because Pope Stephen was too busy screaming at a decrepit corpse. In the words of the historian George Ives, quote, the old man's body, like a monstrous doll, might nod and bend while the attendants supported it, or collapse into a ghastly bundle if they left it alone, but it made no sound, and the deacon would probably be wary in his defense, for there were dark holes nearby, other than sepulchres. Weirdly enough, at one point in the trial, an earthquake shook the basilica, damaging part of it. A clear sign from God, said the writings of later commentators. Quote, for the stones themselves, excreting such a monstrosity, then cried out with their own voice by knocking against each other, that they would more willingly suffer spontaneous ruin than that the Roman Church should remain depressed by so great a scandal. But even in the face of an earthquake, Formosus was found guilty on all counts, and his acts as pope null and void. All consecrations, all appointments, all ordinations were undone. Formosus' body was stripped of its rich garments and dressed in rags, not that it mattered because he was a corpse. Three of his rotted fingers, the fingers of the benediction, with which in life he had given many blessings, were cut off, the last piece of Formosus' legacy. Stephen had Formosus buried on an obscure plot of land, but then, thinking better of it, he had him dug up one more time and tossed in the Tiber River. By throwing his enemy in the Tiber, Stephen VI was taking part in an ancient tradition of killing or hiding or disposing of criminals in the large body of water. But eventually, Formosus was plucked from the Tiber by a fisherman and returned to his tomb in St. Peter's Basilica. A contemporary chronicler, Ludeprand of Cremona, wrote, quote, when he was afterwards found by fishermen and carried to the Church of the Blessed Prince of the Apostles, certain images of the saints, with veneration, saluted him, placed in his coffin, for this I have very often heard from the most religious men in the city of Rome. The people of Rome did not like all this shit that was going on, and in fact, it all had the opposite effect of what Pope Stephen VI wanted it to. Soon after, an Italian mob threw Stephen in prison, where he was strangled to death in his cell.
Later that year, San Giovanni Laterano was nearly destroyed by a fire, almost as if to rid itself of the memory of this whole debacle. The next pope, Pope Romanus, annulled all the actions of Stephen VI, but was overthrown in less than a year. His successor was Pope Theodore II, who was pope for 20 days. His successor, John IX, oversaw Formosus' reburial in St. Peter's Cathedral. Today, there is still a monument that lists the names of popes buried there. There, you can see Formosus' name carved in stone, one of the last vestiges of the cadaver synod.